Hello, and welcome to Season 3 of the Fashion Law Network podcast. I'm your host, Kasia Zabrowska-Traubin, a patent attorney and fashion enthusiast based in Los Angeles, California. Join me as I break down legal cases going on in the world of fashion today, discuss recent fashion news, and demystify patent law. Hello, welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Before I begin the episode, I just wanted to give a special thank you to my international listeners. I received an analysis of the top countries that my podcast has listened to from my podcasting platform, and it revealed that the US is number one, so I wasn't too surprised about that one. But I was really surprised to see a huge percentage of listeners in the UK, France, Germany, and Sweden. So that's amazing. And thank you to everyone for listening. I never imagined when I first started this podcast almost a year ago now that I would have people listening to me from all these different countries. So today's episode will be all about the Celine Fashion House. I will begin the episode with a brief history of the fashion house, which started back in 1954. With a focus on the controversy when creative director Hedi Slimane from Saint Laurent took the helm at Celine in 2018. Then I will discuss some brief patent and trademark law and how it relates to the Celine Fashion House. And at the end of the episode, I will discuss and analyze a famous French trademark infringement lawsuit where Celine sued another company titled Celine in Nancy, France, who was selling clothing under the store name Celine. I think the conclusion in that case may surprise you, like it did for me. So as usual, first let's start with some background history of the Celine Fashion House. This luxury fashion house was founded in 1954 by Celine Vipiana and her husband Robert in France. According to fulloftaste.com, the couple opened a boutique in Paris. They named it Celine, after Miss Celine Vipiana, the founder, of course, and they sold children's shoes. Without a ton of experience, the shoe collection became a major success, and Princess Caroline and Prince Albert of Monaco started purchasing them, and the brand kind of became more popular because of that, which led the duo to expand, and they opened three more stores by 1958. More than a decade later, Vipiana used her success as a launchpad to branch out into ready-to-wear. According to fulloftaste.com again, the thing that made Celine really popular was aiming the collection at this new middle-class market and not just the high-end elite. For example, when denim became very in style, she tried to make it more feminine, and she even had a whole range of denim in pastel colors. According to crfashionbook.com, in 1963, Miss Celine unveiled a women's shoe line, and then later, she came out with a fragrance called Vent Fou, which means crazy wind in France. The brand's first fragrance featured notes of jasmine and rose, and upon looking this perfume up, I came up with various articles saying that it has been discontinued. And interestingly, the fashion house didn't release any other fragrances until almost 50 years after that initial first one. It's reported that in 2019, under Hedi Slimane's direction, the launch of the Celine House's inaugural Haute Parfumerie collection was launched. It comprised of 11 fragrances, and the collection resides in a dedicated Haute Parfumerie boutique newly opened on Paris's Rue Saint-Honoré. Now going back to the timeline of Celine here, in 1966, Miss Celine added leather accessories, gloves, belts, and bags, and her mission was to really have the highest quality of leather goods, and she would go to Florence, Italy, and seek out the best leather makers there. Again, according to crfashionbook.com, by the 1970s, Celine went totally international. They opened new stores all around the world, Beverly Hills, Hong Kong. However, in 1973, they came up with a logo redesign in which Miss Celine revealed those kind of intertwined C's. And I believe this logo is still on various Celine items. And it was apparently a nod to the Parisian Arc de Triomphe landmark. In 1987, Mr. Bernard Arnault, the chairman and CEO of luxury conglomerate LVMH. And by the way, if you guys are interested in LVMH, I have a whole episode on it, how it came to be, in season 2 of my podcast series, if you guys want to go back and listen to that. So Mr. Bernard Arnault, the owner, saw the brand's potential, and he actually took over or bought all 89 of the Celine stores. In 1996, Celine officially became a part of the LVMH group. And Miss Celine remained the designer of Celine until she passed away in 1997 at age 84. The famous Michael Kors then came in as the lead designer for the ready-to-wear line, and he really brought this amazing sense of easy luxury and his jet-setter style to the fashion house, which he's still known for today in his extremely popular namesake line, Michael Kors. He also makes bags and so many different accessories now too. Now, one thing among many others that Michael Kors was known for during his time at Celine was the It bag, called the Boogie Bag at the time. In 1999, he was appointed as creative director. But by 2004, all the kind of buzz around the brand had died down, and he decided to leave the fashion house to make his own fashion line called Michael Kors, which is still very popular to this day. Now, interestingly, according to crfashion.com, Michael Kors is quoted as saying after a 2004 Celine fashion show that he felt like he was neglected at Celine. And now here's a quote that's reported that he said after this 2004 fashion show, and I think he left very soon afterwards. "It's just that I never felt anyone was watching the smaller companies at all, but everybody was spending their time on the two firstborn children, Louis Vuitton and Christian Dior. In a way, if you're a nice kid, no one pays attention to you. If you're a bad kid, you get spoiled." So once Kors left, Celine's future got pretty dicey. There was a somewhat revolving door of creative directors that would come in and out. And the main pinnacle here came in 2008, when the brand really, really exploded and was super popular and was definitely on my radar, when Phoebe Philo, who was, of course, the former creative director of Chloe, and she totally turned the brand into a hot luxury fashion house. She had the same touch at Celine as she did at Chloe when she came on as creative director in 2008. She designed with a kind of contemporary minimalism. Philo had a very successful run for 10 years and is responsible for launching tons of total it bags for Celine, the trapeze bag, the luggage bag, and all the Cabas styles. According to Grazia magazine, when Phoebe announced that she was leaving the Celine fashion house, it was because she wanted to focus on family. She had 3 children at the time, and there was major outrage when Phoebe left, and it really exacerbated when on January 21st, 2018, LVMH, who of course owns Celine, announced the appointment of Hedi Slimane as the artistic, creative, and image director. And he officially joined the fashion house on February 1st of 2018. Now, before this, Hedi Slimane was the super successful creative director of Yves Saint Laurent at that time. And he was very well known for his controversial decision at the Saint Laurent fashion house to delete the Yves and change the fashion house to just Saint Laurent with a new looking logo also. So by the way, if you guys are interested in learning more about Saint Laurent and the history, very rich history there too, please go back to season 1, episode 10 of my podcast series, to the episode titled Ain't Laurent Without Yves. So Hedi Slimane was directed to all the Celine collections, and he extended the brand's collections with a launch of men's fashion, couture, and fragrances. Again, according to GraziaMagazine.com, Hedi Slimane was pretty famous for creating these really skinny men's silhouettes in his history during his tenure at Dior Homme, and then this really kind of like dark and grungy avant-garde style at Saint Laurent. So there was no way that these classic minimalist pieces would be a part of his style, which were kind of synonymous with Phoebe Philo. Now, the first thing Hedy did when he came on to Celine was change the logo. He got rid of the accent above the first E in Celine, and according to HarpersBazaar.com, the accent on the E was removed to enable a simplified and more balanced proportion, evoking the Celine collections of the 1960s, where the accent was not used very often. And there were mostly like really scathing reviews after his first collection for Celine. The collection was pretty dark, edgy. The models were like super waify looking, grungy. And lots of critics pointed out similarities to designs that he had created for Saint Laurent, which is the previous fashion house he was at before Celine. Now, in my opinion, I'm playing devil's advocate here, I kind of felt for Hedy Slimane. It's not like he can change his inherent style to be like Phoebe and her design style. A designer can't just change at the drop of a hat like that, and he probably just wanted to be true to himself. His later collections have been a little more mainstream, not quite so dark and grungy like at the beginning, so maybe he wanted to prove a point to show the public that he wasn't just going to be coerced into following in Phoebe's design footprint. So personally, I applaud him for that. I'm sure it wasn't easy for him to take on that position after the mega popularity that Phoebe Philo had at the fashion house. Now, the longing for the pre-Slimane Celine is still pretty prolific. There's a popular Instagram account called The Old Celine. I think it has like over 300,000 followers. And then there's lots of various YouTube videos about the old Celine and reviews of current collections and past collections. I like watching these runway review videos when doing weights in my home gym. I don't particularly like doing weights, at least compared to running or biking. So watching these videos, which I really love, helps me just kind of get through my workout some days. Anyway, so now it seems like the fashion community is embracing Hedy Slimane more. And GQ had a really funny and interesting article I came across, which they titled, Hedy Slimane Makes the Fashion Equivalent of Botox. Celine's Fountain of Youth Clothes Double as Brilliant Gen X and Boomer Bait. So last year, Hedy showed a men's collection on a racetrack in France with a show inspired by a bunch of TikTok teens and e-boy culture. And by the way, don't feel bad if you don't know what e-boy means, because I didn't. I had to look it up. Goes to show I probably need some of that Celine Botox. So according to dictionary.com, the term e-boy and e-girl are slang terms for young men and women who are active internet users, often stereotyped as emo-style anime and gaming fans trying to get attention on social media. So I learned something new here today. Now let's switch gears and talk about some intellectual property law. Namely, just some general background information on patents and trademarks first, and then how they both apply to Celine. And since this podcast is intended for both attorneys and non-attorneys, I just always think it's helpful to just do like a quick rundown of that before getting into a somewhat complicated lawsuit later on. So first, what is a patent? So a patent is a form of intellectual property that gives its owner the legal right to exclude others from making, using, or selling the invention for a certain amount of years, and that's in exchange for publishing a public disclosure for the invention. To get a patent granted, your invention has to be useful, novel, unobvious, that's like the legal standard. And you can even patent something that already exists, as long as the improvement that you make to your invention yields unexpected results. And the hallmark example of the so-called improvement patent is the Thomas Edison patent. So Thomas Edison didn't really invent the light bulb, but he did significantly improve upon the technology by developing a light bulb that used a lower current of electricity, a improved vacuum inside the globe, among a couple other items. So his light bulb invention now lasted 40 to 60 days versus only a few hours at a time, as was the case with the original light bulbs before he came into the picture. Now, the crux of a patent are the claims, and the claims define in pretty technical terms the extent or the scope of the protection given by a patent or the protection that you're trying to get in a patent application. So basically, the claims define what subject matter is actually protected by your patent. And there are three types of patents. One is a utility patent, which protects the way something works. Second type is a design patent, which protects the ornamental nature of your invention or item. So for example, a unique shape of a handbag or a shoe design in the fashion context. And then the third type of patent is a plant patent. It's relatively rare. This is a patent that's granted to a person who has created or discovered new, distinct, asexually propagated plants. So obviously this does not come up in the fashion context very often. Now, as for patents and Celine, Celine has a relatively small patent portfolio. I was kind of surprised to see that. Just over a little over 30 patents, according to the United States Patent and Trademark Office database that I search. Now, they, of course, could have way more patents in Europe, but I'm only really proficient at the American USPTO database search, so I didn't delve into the European search. All their patents are design patents here in America, mostly for bags, shoes, and clasps. And their oldest patent is for a textile fabric pattern, and Richard Vipiana is the named inventor. This patent was filed in 1981, and he, of course, is Miss Celine's husband. Upon looking at this patent and this fabric material photo that they have with it, it's kind of hard to see. It's really dark. Since it was submitted back in the early 80s, the technology obviously was not as good as it is now. So it looks like they just submitted like a really dark photocopy of a pattern. But it seems to me like it's that typical double C take on their monogram, in that somewhat of a diamond-like pattern that we still see on some of their bag designs. So it's good that they got that patented. And now let's quickly go over trademark law. So a trademark is a symbol, word, or words that are legally registered or established by use as representing a company or product. There are two types of trademarks. You have a character or a word mark and a logo. So character or word marks protect the actual word or the brand name of a company or product. So here, Celine is her brand name. And Celine has various trademarks registered for Celine, which are associated with lots of different categories in which they conduct business, like fashion accessories, soaps, perfumes, among many others. And then you have another type of trademark, which is the logo or symbol, which is associated with your company and goods or services. And one of those for Celine is that CC logo that's supposed to, I guess, remind you of the Arc de Triomphe. So Celine actually has a really recent trademark that they filed. I believe they filed it about a year ago. It's for a logo mark, the CC logo, which is like that monogram and like a diamond pattern. And upon looking at the trademark history for this mark, I found that the representative for Celine in France received an office action for a few minor reasons, but an interesting reason here, which I think is important because it sheds light on a new rule at the trademark office, that applicant must be represented by a U.S. licensed attorney at the USPTO to respond to this office action. So this is a really important, relatively new rule, which went into effect on August 3rd, 2019, where an applicant whose domicile is located outside of the U.S. or territories must be represented at the USPTO by an attorney who's an active member in good standing of the bar of the highest. So that just means you have to be a active attorney in the United States. And only a U.S. licensed attorney can take action on an application on behalf of a foreign domiciled applicant. The USPTO also wrote that they're not going to communicate further with the applicant until they get a U.S. licensed attorney representing them. So according to the USPTO, the reason for this new rule that a foreign applicant has to have a U.S.-based trademark attorney to file the application is because they want to increase USPTO customer compliance with U.S. trademark law and USPTO regulations. They want to improve the accuracy of trademark submissions to the USPTO, and they want to safeguard the integrity of the U.S. trademark register. So it looks like here Celine responded within the 6-month allotted response time for an office action, and they did get a United States-based attorney from Chicago. So now the trademark is on its way to official registration. And now let's discuss the famous French trademark infringement lawsuit that Celine was involved in. The case was decided in 2007 by the European Court of Justice, ECJ for short, and that's how I'll be referring to this court here on in. So this case revolves around the use of the word Celine, which was registered in France by Celine and Richard Vipiana in 1948, so we know that, for clothing and shoes. The registration has been maintained ever since. And then in 1992, Celine S.A.R.L., which stands for Société à Responsabilité Limitée, which basically seems to be like the European or the French equivalent of our American LLC or a limited liability company. So this Celine S.A.R.L. company was registered as an official company in Nancy, France, to sell clothing under the name Celine. However, the business had been operating under the name Celine at the same location since 1950. And just as a side note, let me point out here how important it is to register your trademark as soon as possible. You should register it even before you have a business that's up and running or a brand or service. You can file a trademark under the intent to use basis. So basically, you reserve your name until you're ready to use it in commerce. Super important. Anyway, back to the case. Then in 2003, the Celine that we're familiar with discovered the other Celine company, and they commenced a trademark infringement action against them. So here we have the plaintiff, the Celine luxury fashion house, which had a registered trademark, seeking to prevent the defendant, this smaller Nancy, France-based Celine, as a company name and shop name. So we have different types of marks here, right? One is registered, one is not, one is for clothing and shoes, and one is for a company and shop name. Now, according to Lexology.com, the court stated that because both Celines are identical, the question focused on whether having Celine as a company and shop name constituted use in relation to goods in accordance with the wording of the trademark directive. So the docket history here shows that first, the Nancy Regional Court, which is the region where the Celine LLC was located, and the judge there ruled against the local LLC, so for the luxury Celine house, and they were instructed to change both their attorney and shop name and pay 25,000 euros. So then we see here that the LLC appealed to the Nancy Court of Appeal, who in turn referred the question to the European Court of Justice, the ECJ. The ECJ stated that the trademark regime is intended to enable customers to distinguish between the goods and services of various manufacturers, and to a lesser extent, to prevent free riding on the reputation of a well-known company. The court said, and I'm quoting this part directly from the translated court decision, "The purpose of a company, trade shop name, is not of itself to distinguish goods or services. The purpose of a company name is to identify a company, whereas the purpose of a trade name or shop name is to designate a business which is being carried on. Accordingly, where the use of a company name, trade name, or shop name is limited to identifying a company or designating a business, such use cannot be considered as being in relation to goods and services." The ECJ continued to say that, on the other hand, There is such a use in relation to goods where the shop name is attached to or appears on the goods that are actually sold in the store. But in the end, the court concluded that using Celine as a company and business name would not infringe the Celine Luxury Fashion House trademark. Now, this decision was pretty surprising for trademark owners. So essentially, we know from this case, at least in Europe, that the branding of the goods themselves are key in the analysis and not actually the name of the business in which the goods are sold. And that concludes this episode. This is season 3, episode 7 of the Fashion Law Network podcast. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. And please stay tuned for my next episode as I'm going to be joined by a very special guest. Thank you so much. And I hope you have a wonderful day. Bye.